Would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 12? I'd like to begin reading in verse 43. And before I read this passage of Scripture, the Lord is telling who was allowed and who was not allowed to eat the Passover meal. Verse 43, "And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that's born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that's homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." I have entitled this message, "May I believe." May I believe what? Do I have the right to believe that Jesus Christ the Lord died for me? Can I really believe? May I really believe? Am I permitted to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me? Now, here's why I ask that question. In our text that I just read, there were some people who were strictly forbidden to eat the Passover supper. And there were some people who were commanded to eat the Passover supper. Now my question is, which group am I in? Which crowd am I in? Am I allowed to eat of the Passover? Now the Passover, eating the Passover, represents faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever the blood was shed, there were people in the homes eating the Passover. Eating the Passover represents faith in Christ. Am I permitted to believe that He died for me? Now, there are a couple more introductory comments in order. May I believe that Christ died for me? You know, to the average person, that's a mute point. Because most people believe that He died for everybody. If He died for everybody, of course He died for me. But does the Bible teach that He died for all men without exception? Does the Bible teach that? Now I want to answer that question from the Scriptures. Turn with me for a moment to John 10. You just hold your finger there in Exodus 12 and turn to John 10 for a moment.
verse 14.
I am the good shepherd, our Lord says, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I've got a question for you. Is everybody a sheep? Well, let's answer that from the Scriptures. Look in verse 24 of this same chapter. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, if words mean anything, and they do, not everybody's a sheep. The Lord says to these people, you're not my sheep. Now, how much plainer can it get? Look in John 17. Do you remember when our Lord was hanging on the cross? His first words, there's seven different sayings by our Lord on the cross. His first words were, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, when he prayed for that prayer, was there anybody that he prayed for when he said, Father, forgive them, that the Father didn't forgive? Did the Father say no for any of those people? Look in John chapter 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. Did Jesus Christ die for those that he refused to pray for? That the Father did not give him? You know better than that. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, is everybody in the church? Obviously not. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The Bible, now you listen to me very carefully, the Bible does not teach that Jesus Christ shed his blood for everybody without exception. It just doesn't teach that. A preacher that stands up before a congregation of people and assures them that God loves them, God loves you, Christ died for you, he paid your sin debt. A preacher that stands up before a congregation and says that, he's no gospel preacher. As a matter of fact, he's a false prophet, bringing a message of salvation by works. Now, if the message is Christ paid for your sins, he made your salvation possible, but there's something you need to do to make what he did work, if that's my message, I have no idea what the gospel message is. You know, you think of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when I read that passage of Scripture. He loved me and he gave himself for me. What's that mean if he loved everybody and gave himself for everybody and some of them end up being damned anyway? It's a meaningless statement, isn't it? But Paul said he loved me and he gave himself for me. Now, when a preacher stands up to a congregation, a mixed congregation, believers and unbelievers, and says, God loves you. Christ died for you. God wants to save you. It's up to you to do whatever it needs you to do to make it work. That's a satanic message. And listen to this.
Either I'm telling you the truth or I'm a messenger of Satan. Now, did you hear me? Either I'm telling you the truth or I'm a messenger of Satan. And if I'm a messenger of Satan, you'd be a whole lot better off somewhere else, wouldn't you? I'm either telling you the truth or I'm a liar. Now, in our text, there are four kinds of people who were forbidden to eat the Passover. And there were four people who could. And I want to see if I may really believe that Jesus died for me. This is what I want to know. I want to know if Jesus Christ shed His precious blood for me. Now, I want Him to have shed His precious blood for you too. There isn't anybody in here that I'm saying, well, I hope He didn't die for them. I'm not, no. I want you to know the Lord. I want you to be saved. But I want to know He died for me. Yeah, I'm concerned about, but here's what, I'm out for number one right now. I want to know that He died for me, don't you? You know, if He died for you, all the blessings of the full assurance of salvation are yours. If he died for you, all of God's salvation and everything that's included in it is yours. I want that, don't you? Let's look at a few scriptures before we turn to Romans 8. I'm going to look at some very familiar scriptures. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. The all who are included in verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And they're described in verses 28 through 30. He that spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. That's the only answer I need. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You see, if Jesus Christ died for you, that's all yours. Every bit of it. Look over in Revelation 1. The book of Revelation. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, is there any way that He could love you and wash you from your sins in His own precious blood and make you a king and a priest to God, and you end up in hell anyway? Can't happen, can it? Listen, all the blessings of salvation, if you can have some assurance and understanding that He died for me, all the blessings of God's salvation are yours. Now, if He died for everybody, that'd be meaningless. But, oh, I want to leave this place with some understanding that He died for me. May I believe? May I believe that Jesus Christ actually died for me? Now, I think it's interesting in our text that He first tells who is forbidden to eat of the Passover. Look in verse 43, Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. No stranger was allowed to eat of the Passover.
Now see the word stranger in verse 48. Look, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover, that word translated stranger in verse 48 is a completely different word than the word translated stranger in verse 43 in the Hebrew. It's a completely different word. Let me show you how this word is used in the verb form. Turn back to Genesis chapter 42. Verse 7. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. He knew who they were. You remember the story. He's now over all of Egypt, but they don't know who he is. He knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. But he made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. He pretended to be who he was not. That's what the word stranger means. It's someone who feigns themselves to be somebody else. That's what the word means by definition. You know what the New Testament word for it is? A hypocrite. An actor. Someone who pretends to be what they are not. No stranger, no pretender is allowed to eat of the Passover. Okay, we got that. No stranger is allowed to eat of the Passover. Now, can you give me some more information about who he died for? I hear that and it scares me. I don't want to be one of these strangers. I don't want to be one of these pretenders. Can you give me some more information about who can eat the Passover? Who can believe that Jesus Christ died for him? Does the Bible give us any more information about this? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Now, we see, I've already read scriptures that show conclusively that Jesus Christ died for the elect. He died for those the Father gave him. He died for those who believe. We see that. He died for his church. There's no question about that. He died for a specific people. But look here in Romans chapter 5. I want to look at some more scriptural information before we get back to this stranger thing. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the who? The elect? Doesn't say that there, does it? Those who believe? Doesn't say that there. Those who are sincere? Didn't say that. What's it say? When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the, let's say that aloud together, the ungodly. Do you hear that? Let's go on reading verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Everybody ought to receive this. It's the best news they've ever heard, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, in those two verses of Scripture I just read, I find three descriptions of the people Christ died for. You listen to them. Christ died for those without strength. Not just weak, but without strength, without spiritual ability. You won't hear them talking about their free will, that they can choose whenever they want to do it. No, they're without strength. They're ungodly before God. They're sinners. Now that's who he died for. He didn't die for good people. He didn't die for righteous people. He died for sinners. Now here's the question I want to ask you. When you hear these descriptions of who he died for, the ungodly, those that are without strength, sinners, do you just kind of role play in there? Or does that describe you? Do you got to act the part? Or are you the real thing? Do you just give agreement? Or
progress is you without strength, ungodly, a sinner. You're the real thing.
Now, if you just got to act that part, but you don't really believe it's true regarding you. Do you believe, for instance, act Scripture in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, continually, nonstop. Would that be you? Or would you have to act that part out? You know, I've said this many times. It's one thing to believe in the doctrine of total depravity, but it's an altogether different thing to believe that you are totally depraved, isn't it? All the difference in the world. Who did Christ die for? He died for sinners. Now, if you can fit yourself into that group, I can guarantee you upon the authority of God's Word that Christ died for you. And if you can't, I can't give you any assurance that Christ died for you. If you're better than that, I'm talking about what God sees when He looks in your heart and sees how you really view yourself. If you see yourself as better than that, having some spiritual strength, I can't give you any hope Christ died for you. You see, He didn't die for any actors. Only real, bona fide sinners. Christ died for them. Look in verse 45 of our text in Exodus chapter 12. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. And here's another twofold description of somebody who's forbidden to eat. Somebody who may not believe. Someone who's not given permission to believe. First, a foreigner. A foreigner. No foreigner shall eat thereof. Now, a foreigner is a resident alien. He is one who lives in the country and enjoys many of the privileges of being in the country, but he is not a citizen. Now, a resident alien, you may be in a group of people, and there's a resident alien. Can you tell by looking at them that they're not citizens? No. They look like citizens. They act like citizens in many ways. They seem to have the same interests. They go to church. They hear the gospel. But they don't believe. You see, they're interested in the benefits of being an Israelite, but they're not interested in having the nature of an Israelite. They want the blessings. They don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven. Who wants to go to hell? Everybody wants to go to heaven. They want God's blessing on their life. They want to have everything good for them. They want to have good marriage and good home life and good finance. You know, they want God's blessings and so on. They want that, but they're not really interested in having the nature of a true Israelite. They're not really interested in being like Jesus Christ. That's not really their interest. So they'll take the benefits, but as far as being like Christ, that really holds no interest to them. Now, to a believer, heaven is being with Christ, seeing Christ. Heaven's not sinning anymore. Heaven is being perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, the resident alien, he'll take the benefits, but he's not interested in the nature of being a true Israelite. No foreigner is allowed to eat of the Passover. And next he says, no hired servant is to eat thereof. No hired servant. Now, what's a hired servant? He's somebody who works for wages. It's that simple. Someone who believes that his salvation is given to him because of something he's done. Now, all you've got to do, this is so simple, all you've got to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for everybody and He paid for everybody's sins and made salvation possible for everybody. But there's something you need to do in order to make what He did work. That's all you've got to do to be a hired servant. You've got to believe your salvation is in some way, to some degree, in some respect, dependent upon you. If you believe that, you're a hired servant. And you are forbidden to eat of the Passover.
No uncircumcised person shall eat. Now, circumcision, look in the last line in verse 48. No uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Now, circumcision represents what God does in the heart. No uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Let me show you this. Hold your finger there in Exodus 12, Romans 2. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. That's not circumcision. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we see circumcision talks about what God does on the inside. It's somebody with a circumcised heart that is allowed to eat of the Passover. Now, what is this circumcised heart all about? Well, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Well, I sure am thankful for the New Testament that tells us what the Old Testament means. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Here's what a circumcised heart is. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now that tells me that somebody who's not circumcised does not worship God in the Spirit, does not rejoice in Christ Jesus, and has confidence in the flesh. That's what an uncircumcised person is. He doesn't know anything about worshiping God in the Spirit. You see, the only way I can worship God is by the Holy Spirit. I can't drum it up. There is no worship of God apart from the Holy Spirit. And an uncircumcised person doesn't even know what that means. Hey, worship. Well, we'll have a worship service. Let's have a worship service. Let's get together and worship. An uncircumcised person doesn't have a clue as to what it means to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. All I have any confidence in is the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I rejoice in Christ. An uncircumcised person has confidence in the flesh. I have confidence in my will. I can choose the good if I want. I've got a free will. I've got the power to obey. I mean, I don't always do it, granted, but I've got the power to do it. I can believe when I want. I can repent. Well, if I do all these different things, these works of the flesh, the understanding of the flesh, I can figure this thing out. The uncircumcised person has confidence in the flesh. Now, no uncircumcised person is allowed to eat of the Passover. So we see the four types of people who are not allowed to eat the Passover. No actor, no pretender, no foreigner. No hired person. No uncircumcised person. And no resident alien. Now, who can eat the Passover? Here's the good part. We see who can't eat. Who can? Am I included in this group of people who are allowed to eat the Passover? Can I leave this room really believing that Jesus Christ died for me and having all of whatever salvation is, it's mine? Can I believe that Jesus Christ died for me? Well, who could eat the Passover? Well, look in verse 47 of our text. All. A-double-L, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Who could eat the Passover? All the congregation of Israel. All of God's elect. Everybody that Christ died for. They can all eat of the Passover. Now the big question is, am I in that all? Can I be con-
included in that all? Well, look in verse 44. Now, remember we talked about a hired servant in verse 45, but you know there's not only hired servants, there's bought servants. Look in verse 44. But every man's servant who is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. Everybody who is bought. There are hired servants and there are bought servants. Now, if you have been bought, if you have been bought by the blood of Christ, you will plead nothing but His redeeming blood. Now, here's what bought people do. All they plead is His blood. Have you ever done that? Before God, have you ever pled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's all my plea. I don't plead anything else. That's what bought people do. They plead the price. Lord, have mercy on me for Christ's sake, for His blood's sake. I wouldn't bring any other reason before you as to why you'd have anything to do with me other than His precious blood. Everyone who's circumcised. Everyone who's circumcised. Well, who are they? Well, they're the opposite of the folks who aren't circumcised. Everybody that's circumcised. You know what that is? That's everybody who worships God in the Spirit. That doesn't simply mean to worship God in a spiritual manner. You know, we don't have to have all the trappings of religion. We don't have to have the organ playing silently in the background and the beautiful cathedral and all that. That's not just talking about against that stuff. That's talking about worshiping by the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot worship apart from the Spirit of God. Don't even know what it means apart from the Spirit of God. True worship is Holy Spirit inspired and caused. And you know what people who have the Spirit of God in their worship do? They rejoice in Christ Jesus. They really do. And they really have no confidence in the flesh. I don't have any confidence in my understanding. I really don't. I don't have any confidence in my will. I don't have any confidence in my strength. I don't have any confidence in my abilities. I've got no confidence in the flesh, mine or yours. I really don't. And that's a circumcised person. Now here's the mark I like the best. Look in verse 48. Here's who can keep the Passover. Verse 48. And when a stranger, someone who's not an Israelite, he's an outsider, he can't claim being a child of God. When a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, he desires to keep the Passover. He wants to keep the Passover. He wants to be in one of those houses with the blood mark over the door. He doesn't want to be outside of one of those houses. He wants to be in the house. He has heard where God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he wants to be in one of those houses where the blood is over the door. And he doesn't want to be anywhere else. That's the only place he wants to be. He desires to eat. He desires to be in the house where the blood's over the door. That's what he wants. The New Testament puts it this way. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You don't have to find a reason in yourself. You don't have to find any merit in yourself. You don't... Whosoever will. Do you want to be saved by Christ?
Do you want to be in one of the houses where the blood's over the door? Is that what you want? That stranger who will.
What did he do? Verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that's born in the land. There won't be any difference between him and the children of Israel. He'll be as one born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that's homeborn and unto the stranger. Same thing that sojourns among you. Do you desire to eat the Passover? Now I'd like to close this message by turning to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He's going to speak to somebody that's in the desert. No life. A dry, parched, barren place. A desert for a heart. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He wanted to worship the Passover, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, I have no doubt that he was going back just as empty as he was when he came. But he was trying to read the Bible. You know, the Bible's a good book to read. Read the Bible. And he was reading Isaiah chapter 53. What a chapter. Verse 29, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you're reading? Now, I know what most people would say. Well, of course I do. Who do you think I am? Here's what I think it means. That's what most people would say. Here's what I think. I think I got this down. But look at this fellow's attitude. And he said, verse 31, How can I? I don't have a clue. Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And he's reading about the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross out of Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Can you imagine what it would have been like to sit under that message? And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Evidently, Philip had said something about baptism, confessing Christ and believers' baptism. And the eunuch said unto Philip, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You give me a reason. I want to know, because I want to know if I shouldn't be baptized. Is there a reason why I should not be? Is there a reason why? I hear of his death, his sacrificial death, what he did. I believe it, but can I believe this is for me? Is there something
hindering me
from being baptized? Is there a reason why I should not believe that He died for me? Now, if you believe He died for you, you have every reason to be baptized, don't you? Now, if there's a reason why I shouldn't, I want to know. I love the sincerity of this man. Okay, verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe with all my heart that I'm a Christian. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I'm just sure." That's not what he said, is it? He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. "That's enough. Ain't nothing hindering you from being baptized. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, the uncreated Christ, the Son of the living God, the Maker of heaven and earth, the only Savior of sinners. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. If you believe He's the Son of God, yes, He did die for you. He shed His precious blood for you. You're already saved. You're set free. Your sins have been washed away. And all of the blessings of God's great salvation are yours completely. Everybody who believes that He is the Son of God, they're saved. Everybody? Every blessed one. Did He die for me? Do you believe He's the Son of God? Do you believe He's the Christ? Yes. He did die for you. Therefore, you have every right to believe that all of salvation is yours. Let's pray together.